The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And it's a beautiful day in paradise. Welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, where yours truly, Neville James. It really is gorgeous today. This is the VI in high visibility days that I'll be telling Aya about. I came over the top of the hill there in contentment this morning, and I look over and water beaming. All that stuff. Not the perfect visibility, right? Because I could see the outline for seeing Western St. John a little bit and all that stuff. But I'm sure by midday, right? It can be even clearer, like they don't say, over there on the rock. You know what I'm saying? And we might see Tortola. And some of the BVI islands, we're definitely going to see St. Thomas. By 2 o'clock this afternoon, I could guarantee you, knowing Santa Cruz like I do, right? And when you're coming into Christiansted and you get to that bottleneck, right? And you head over towards, instead of turning down to head towards Contentment, you head over towards Orange Grove, towards the Golden Arch Shopping Center. When you clear that corner there and you see St. Thomas, you like you go reach out and touch it. Seriously. It really is a beautiful day this morning. We supposed to get some bush tea. Dwayne Henry, I think he might actually be in this. He's going to come in the studio. That's what he told me. And we're also supposed to hear from Gwen Marie Molina because they... Hold on there. Let me pull this up. Right? On Saturday... Right, the League of Women Voters, right? They're putting together a panel, right, on status options, right? And that's being sponsored by the League of Women Voters, right? Saturday, April 20th. So we should be hearing from Ms. Molina anytime. Matter of fact, I know she'll listen to the show. Ms. Molina, whenever you feel like it, I know I told you 8, 10, however, but you could call now if you want to, right? The 718-444-4555 number, right? You could call that number at any time right now. And then me and Dwayne are going to be rapping and talk a lot of things with respect to Bush T and all that good stuff. He's en route, right? So he just text me to let me know that. Check. So I'm a little, you know, hurting a little bit because, you know, I'm a Golden State Warriors fan, and we were sent home last night in embarrassing fashion in the play-in. We'll get to that a little bit later and all that stuff because, you know, the sports junkie that I am, I'm grieving a little bit. But like I said, you know, I got the greatest audience, and, you know, when I call on them, you know, to call in, they do that. So you can hang up the phone there. Set me up and hang it up. I think I believe we got Miss Marie Molina on the line. Good morning, Miss Molina. How are you?
Yes.
How are you doing?
Yes, just fine, thank you. This is Senator, the good Senator.
All my life. Well. This is me, right? I've been a senator for 12 years, but this is me, Neville James. How are you?
Yeah, just fine. We're speaking to still speaking today at 8:10.
No, we could talk now. That's what I tell you, Carly. Now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you listen to me and you're calling. I said we didn't have to wait till 8:10. We could talk now. So,
okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, when do you want us to begin?
At any time. Just you said you needed some time to talk about the April 20th League of Women Voters panel.
Right.
Address status. So I'm yielding the floor to you right now.
Okay. Great. Well, I want to, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this event that is being sponsored by the League. And we think that it would be of great interest to your audience, because yours is the kind of audience that's looking to be informed. They want insightful information. They want inspiring information, motivating information, and anything that's relevant to the everyday life.
Well, before we get to the actual topic, talk a little bit about the League of Women Voters.
Okay, the League of Women Voters is a national organization that is devoted to the promotion and preservation of democracy. And it was started really in 1920 when the 19th Amendment was passed, and they formed immediately to get women to now register to vote, since the vote was finally won after 70 years of pushing for the event. And so all through the years now, every state has at least one chapter of a League of Women Voters. There are thousands of members, and there's one here in the Virgin Islands that was begun back in the late 70s, I believe, started by people like Attorney Edith Bourne and Helen Gessing and other dynamic women from St. Croix, St. John, and St. Thomas. They started the league, and we've been going since then. I've been serving as president now for about 5-6 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir. Mm-hmm. And we have annual meetings, and before I do that, I should say that WTJX has always been a part of the league, and the league has depended on WTJX for many of its programs, and all through the years from the 70s, even beginning here in St. Thomas, the WTJX has been tied with the league. So we have an annual meeting every year, and this year it's always in April. And as part of the meeting, we have a public forum that's open to the public free of charge. And we always choose topics that are relevant to the territory. For example, one year we had Delegate Plaskett. Another year we had your compadre, the former Senator Ronnie Russell, who debated with Professor Gerard Emanuel on the matter of the Constitution. We've had the governors who have come and spoken at our public forum. One year we had Governor Mapp. Another year we had Governor Bryan. One of our biggest attendances was when we had the budget director. That was when Ms. Gottlieb was the director, and the place was so crowded, we had standing room only and people lined up outside. I was trying to remember what year that was. And what the issues were that the budget director was so was so attractive to everybody for our public forum. This year, we decided that we would do one on political status. And when I tell people that we're doing it, the first question we are asked is, why political status when the league has been pushing constitutional all this time? And the reason is that we have come to the realization that really there was a lot of conflation between the two, that when constitutions were being drafted, there were matters of political status that were being inserted into the Constitution. So we came to the conclusion, really, that you can't have one without the other. I don't know if you recall back in the early 60s, there was a song, Love and Marriage Go Together Like a Horse and Carriage. You can't have one without the other.
You remember that? No, but I like the lingo.
Yes. So we said that we really, even as we are now developing delegates for the Constitutional Convention, we still have to keep in mind political status. And so we are going to be running parallel with the discussions on the Constitution. The League is going to be running parallel with issues of political status. And this is just the first one of events that we are going to be sponsoring on political status that we hope will help to inform the Constitutional Convention as we're moving forward and get the people prepared for the referendum that we hope will occur in 2027 on the matter of political status. So that's the why of it.
No, well, that's logical to me, because I truly believe that they go hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I definitely agree with that. Now, I'm looking at your organization, right?
Yes.
First of all, I see it was founded as the National American Women's Suffrage Association originally.
Originally, absolutely.
Right.
And that was the group that was pushed, and those were the women who were pushing for the 19th Amendment.
Yeah. And they said, Emma Smith DeVoe, right?
Right.
That's the name. And and then ultimately she started recruiting other women, and then it led to the 19 convention, right?
Yeah.
Which was a big convention in St. Louis, Missouri. And then ultimately in 1920, the year that you mentioned, right? And the headquarters.
The 19th Amendment, right.
The 19th Amendment and the headquarters and all that stuff. It's unfortunate that instantly when you said 1920, I was thinking that your centennial was undermined by COVID in 2020, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's exactly what happened. We were going to have the National Convention in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and I remembered making my hotel reservations and submitted my registration fee for the convention, and we even had some of our members who were going to be going up as well. Well, everything was canceled. All the hotels shut down and so forth.
Yeah.
And I remember that the hotel never returned my deposit. Up to now, yes.
No, man,
we had a back and forth, and I decided I was never going to use that hotel.
No, man, they're going to send back that money with interest, man. We ain't playing that one at all.
You know how long ago that was?
It was 4 years ago, but they ain't got no shame, man. And they probably collect PPP money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
guys, that is in right. But when we're talking a constitutional convention, right? When getting back to the reason for status being considered, you can't look at adapting a constitution and not make clear status options for the people to consider, because they go hand in hand.
You're absolutely correct. And this is why we are having this conference, this panel presentation on Saturday, and we want everybody to come out for it. We have five fantastic speakers, articulate, knowledgeable, insightful, provocative. These are people that you want to hear. And so people can attend in person or they can do so virtually. That's this Saturday at 1:00. In person, it's on the UVI campus, St. Thomas, at the Innovative Center, which is the building just before the golf course. It used to be a supermarket.
Yeah, the 3D Innovation Center there. I think it's 13D or 3D, I think it is.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Uh-huh. They have done a fantastic job with that building, and there are conference rooms inside there, and we will be having it, the panel discussion there. So we want people to come down to the St. Thomas campus Saturday at 1:00 for the conference. Now,
You said five brilliant people, Virgin Islanders.
Oh my goodness.
So call them out.
You're going to be so impressed. We have Dr. Hadiya Sour.
Okay.
And I think you have heard her speak. She's a philosopher. She's mm-hmm. a social scientist, very well trained, degrees from Brown and so forth. She has done postdoctoral studies. She's now doing some work with the University of the Virgin Islands. And so she is, she's absolutely brilliant. And I think the audience, people love her. She has a following of her own. We also have attorney Tanisha Bailey Roker.
Okay.
Who just really, everybody's still talking about her presentation that she did, a Brown versus Roe presentation at UVI St. Thomas, St. Croix. And she is just so outstanding. She used to be a member of the League of Women Voters.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her position right now, she is unable really to keep up with her membership and be involved. But
you said Brown v. Roe. That was the name of the trial.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we also have Dr. Malik Sekou from the UVI. As you know, he's a historian
mm-hmm.
and a social scientist and an outspoken person who has done outstanding work in with the Constitution.
And he was a member of the Status Commission back in the day.
Absolutely. So he's just wonderful, and we're so proud to have him. We also have someone who is probably not so well known in the public discussing these matters, but he is has made a name for himself on his analysis of the economic situation in the territory, and that's Mr. Mark Wenner. He's an economist. And he is teaching economics at the University of the Virgin Islands. So the title of our forum is...
That's four. That's four. Who's the fifth person?
Oh, Gerard Emanuel. Sorry, thank you for reminding me. Gerard Emanuel, mm-hmm. He's our historian and social scientist. Mm-hmm. And an encyclopedia and of all of things having to do with the Constitution and the and political status, and he's just priceless, really. And he will be serving with me as the facilitator for the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Before you do that, I think we
need to give the public a little bit of history. To the best of my knowledge, when we had the Status Commission and we had a vote that was not successful. I believe it was in the fall of 1993, right?
Yeah, right.
There were seven options that were available for the public. And that in and of itself was controversial, right?
Exactly.
Because there were those who were saying there's only three. Status quo, independence, or statehood, right? Status quo being unincorporated territory. And I'm just talking about what were some of the controversies that led to low turnout and all that stuff. But in addition to that, there were four other options at that time to include incorporated territory, right? Because we are an unincorporated territory.
Which is state, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Free association, right? Commonwealth and compact of federal relations, right? So those were the seven options that were available for selection. Now, there were those who were of the belief that the United Nations didn't... I think there was a position that the United Nations didn't recognize all of those options because they only believe they only recognize three, the three that I mentioned.
Correct.
Or two. I don't know if they recognize unincorporated territory.
The third one was free association.
Free association. So is either free association, independence, or statehood, right?
Right.
Those were the three, you know what I mean? So... So, now I'm going to let the public know for me, right? I don't have a problem with status quo. That would be unincorporated territory. Under perfect circumstances, you know, statehood, right, would be good. And if we generated enough revenue and showed the ability to manage the revenues you generate without mainland assistance, then independence, then and only then can independence be considered, in my opinion, right?
Listen, this is why you need to come to the forum. Because Mark Wenner, who is an economist par excellence, is going to be presenting a fantastic section on the economic impact of these three options.
Hold on there 1 second. Don't hang up. We'll take a break. Come back. Attorney Dwayne Henry has joined me here in the studio, and we'll continue this conversation and wrap it up right after this. We'll be back right after this with Ms. Gwen Marie Molina, League of Women Voters.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the Territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I've never seen this. This is amazing.
On Finding Your Roots, Brendan Fraser.
My great-granddad?
Yes.
Was a candy salesman?
He was a candy man.
Yes!
And Valerie Bertinelli.
They kept so many secrets.
An ancestor's anger ends in violence.
That is your ancestor shooting another man.
That's a criminal.
And an unknown marriage uncovered in Italy.
Whoa, wait!
Yes.
That's not Angelina.
Tune in April 23rd at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here and analyze this. It's a Bush Tea edition. The one and only Attorney Duane Henry is actually in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Counselor. How are you?
Good morning, Senator. Doing well. And thank you for the Bush Tea.
Yeah, pull up the microphone. I can't hear it.
Good morning, everyone.
Thanks
for the Bush Tea.
Of course, I don't, if you're there, we go take care of you. Some Marisol, do what you have to do. And of course, we got Ms. Gwen Marie Molina from the League of Women Voters on the line, and they got a panel discussion as it relates to the status in concert with a vote coming up later this year for Constitutional Convention delegates. So we're glad to have Ms. Molina on. So Ms. Molina, good morning once again. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Duane, anything you wanted to chime in before we ask Ms. Molina some more questions? With respect to the importance of status.
Uh-huh.
And at least the continued discussion of, you know, where we are, where we've been, where we want to go, and why it's important in connection with a constitutional convention.
Good morning, Ms. Mullen, and thank you for your service. I don't know if you remember, when I was 14 years old, I testified before the third constitutional convention on behalf of my class at Central High. And one of the things that we, was worried about was status. And it showed up in the third convention. It showed up in the subsequent convention. The early conventions, the status didn't seem to be so much of a thing. But then later, the more we do conventions, the more status is showing up as very important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
And I appreciate the league's the stuff the league has done over the years concerning status. But let me ask, has the league presented, I think they have, but you can tell me, has the league presented any position papers to Congress, during the times when constitutions have been submitted to Congress?
No, we did not. But the members, I was not on St. Thomas during the time when a bunch of this was going on.
Right.
I came back up relatively recently in relation to those discussions.
Right.
But members were definitely involved in that. But we believe that the question of political status is a complex one. And it has not been evaluated or discussed in the kinds of depth that are needed for coming up with a solution. Malik Sekou has said all along, the issue of political status is a complex one, and it is not one that could be made overnight. And this is why we are beginning that discussion, that in-depth discussion, and we would like to continue it through 2027, when hopefully that referendum is going to take place. Oh. This forum that we're having on Saturday is the beginning of one of several that are going to come on the matter of political status initiated by the League. And we want to bring in for the discussion knowledgeable people who can talk, and we want to involve the public as much as possible. We want, you said that you were about 14 at the time, you said?
Yes, I was in ninth grade.
we want to begin from there. We want as many people to come out. So for this one here, both Malik Sekou and Mark Wenner and Hadia Sua are all associated with the university, and I've asked them to ask their classes, the students in their classes, mm-hmm. to come to the forum. But we want also the people, citizens, voters, to come in for this presentation. It's going to be very knowledgeable. And Neville, I want to get back to what you said before, what your top analyses were of the three status options.
Mm-hmm. The three main ones, because I don't want the public
the
to think.
Main ones,
I don't want the public to think that the other four didn't have value, because they did have some value.
But the United Nations are not going to recognize those other ones.
Correct.
And yes, and I want you to listen to what Mark Wenner, who is an economist, has to say about the economic impact of the three status options: statehood, independence, or
free association.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
The impact of all three of these, and where the Virgin Islands would stand. What are the challenges the Virgin Islands would face? Its economy would face in all three of these. And he comes up with a very interesting conclusion. So I want people to come and get the real facts that they can be using, that mm-hmm. they can use for when that vote comes up.
I owe it to my audience, right, to be as candid as possible with them, right?
Yes.
And the reality is this, right? We live in a hurricane zone, Hurricane Ali, right?
Right.
And if there's one thing, a relationship with the United States, right, right, guarantees, not obligated, even not obligated, guarantees the people of the Virgin Islands, is that when we get slammed, the United States coming in to provide us support. We ain't got to ask for it. And that to me, right, if and when it comes down to the public having their say, right, with respect to what option they want, that dynamic, that variable by itself is a dominant variable, Ms. Molina. I'm just being candid.
Well, let me play the devil's advocate. You know, the League of Women Voters is nonpartisan.
Yeah.
You know, we try not to
No, that's ideal. That's ideal. Okay. I respect that.
Yeah. So I would ask you to look at other islands that were slammed by the hurricane.
Yeah.
And didn't have the United States to come in. What happened to them?
Well, they come back.
They were slammed. They came back.
They come back. Okay. They come back.
Yeah. They came back. Exactly.
Yeah. Dwayne wanted to respond to what I said there.
I agree with Devil's assessment. And we know the other islands came back, but at what cost? And you know, because there's a lot of personal pain that is alleviated rather quickly, even though we think it's slow. When FEMA comes in and gives us MREs, let me tell you, and we all know, somebody was giving me a joke yesterday saying that when they went down to Montserrat after the hurricane, after the volcano, they saw more FEMA blue tops down there than they signed it. But you understand where I'm going with this, right? And then recently we had, in the last hurricane, they were talking about some aid going over to Totola, you know. So my point being is that we just end up helping out. We end up helping out some of these other islands with the resources that we got from FEMA.
That's right. Additionally, right, I do want the public to know, right, that don't believe that because we are a United States insular possession. I think that's the best term to use, right? Because people get emotional, they get sentimental, and they say, we're a colony and all, and whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So we're an insular possession. But I do want to say, in fairness to Uncle Sam, going back to Teddy Roosevelt, right? Where he made it clear, right, that every country in the Western Hemisphere will respect the power of the United States on this side of the Atlantic Ocean, right? In other words, if something going on, right? Even all the way down in Argentina, down on the tip of South America, America has an obligation to at least keep an eye on what's going on and to make sure, as Edwin Calwood used to say, when he would call into radio shows, that the country running good, right? You know what I'm saying? So, and Theodore Roosevelt was very, very clear about that. President Roosevelt, I believe, was the 26th president. He made that clear back then. So it just because the neighboring islands are not U.S. positions, it don't mean that the U.S. ain't gonna come in and provide support.
Exactly.
Right? That's the position that I want to take, and I believe I'm obligated to educate the public. And I just like the guarantee. Like they don't say, well, we got Pepperidge Farm, when we had the Pepperidge Farm commercial guarantee, right, coming from Douglas, Louisiana. You know what I mean? I like that. I'm sorry. I just, you know, and I know, you know, hurricanes, even though we shouldn't really be held hostage, I'm thinking of a worst case scenario like a hurricane, right? Because you need good governance across the board. You want people to feel safe. You want public safety, public health, a sound education system, environmental protection. I agree with all of that. But there's something about that guarantee that makes people feel a little comfortable. Yeah, Dwayne.
Yeah, and I wanted to just add one other quick thing. When we speak about free association, that's a loose term that a lot of people use. Puerto Rico, in my opinion, is not a freely associated state.
No.
The best example in the United States system is CNMI, the Northern Mariana Islands. Yeah. They seem to be more of a commonwealth than Puerto Rico.
But I think they're under a compact.
It's a free association.
Let me just say two things. One about the free association is that, as Mr. Emmanuel always says, it has a broad spectrum, and that free association relationship is negotiated by the territories with the United States. So it's one fit doesn't fit all, and it's a broad thing. What I want to close by saying that it's a very important discussion, and we want really to invite as many people to attend as possible. If you can come in person, come down to the Innovative Center, which is the building just before the UAVI Golf Course, or you can log on virtually by going to the league, by sending a request to our email account, which is LWVUSVI. LWV means League of Women Voters. Mm-hmm. LWVUSVI@gmail.com.
Okay.
So, you know, just send a request and we'll send you the link. If you can go on Facebook and go to our Facebook page, and that information is there on our Facebook page. We've posted it so that you could go on and get information about the forum and find out how you can register to have virtual participation. It'll be a great event. It's the first of many. We invite everybody to come. Neville, I want to thank you so very much. It is always a pleasure to listen to you in the morning. I always learn something.
Thank you.
And you and your compadres, you know, that's a good term. Do y'all still use compadre?
You and your
compadres are just so insightful, informed, and I do learn.
I'm comadres, though. You're just compadres, you know what I mean?
Okay. That's true, comadres and compadres.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all you do with the League of Women Voters on behalf of the people. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You got it. That's Gwen Marie Molina from the League of Women Voters, and they got a panel coming up on Saturday talking about status in concert with the vote for members of the Constitutional Convention that's coming up later this year. You know, Dwayne and I have the opportunity to host come to the territory back in February. Host, in addition, Leslie Commission hosts that show on a weekly basis. And the main topic on that show was the Constitutional Convention. And I did some research there. And I want the public to know, I always reference an article on the St. Thomas Source, right? From back in 2003, May 19, 2003. And it says VI constitutional backgrounds. And it tells us of, at that time, there were four constitutions, and then there was a fifth one that was election in 2007, failed in 2010, right?
But the first Constitutional Convention, 64 and 65, had 33 delegates to include the 15 sitting senators and 18 others. Same situation with the second convention in 1971. And by the way, Aubrey Andrews was the chair of the first convention. Same 33 members to include 15 senators in 71. Earl B. Ottley was the chairman. The next one, the third convention, this one had 66 members. Uh-huh. Either 60 or 66. Hold 76. On.
76.
Hold on there. I got the first and the second. What's the third one there?
It should be 1976.
77. 60 delegates. Uh-huh. Right? Alexander Farrelly was the president for that one.
Right.
And then and the list of that one there is a virtual who's who. And then the fourth one where you testified in 79, right?
Mine was 77.
You testified in 77?
Uh-huh.
Okay, 77. Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You graduated 80, right? Or 81.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
The fourth Constitutional Convention was in 80. Mm-hmm. And Rupert Ross
was
the president.
Yeah, just
of that
left
one.
From being my principal.
Yeah. And then the fifth one was in 2007. Gerard Los James was the chairman of that one. All five failed. I mean, let's be candid here. Right. And that's unfortunate. Given the amount of intellectual and institutional knowledge that we had with membership, that's unfortunate. But things happen, right? Uh-huh. The question, though, and remember, it was the native naturalized issue really was the one that dominated the last one. And Arturo Watlington.
And many of them.
Yeah, Arturo Watlington, one member that I was a guest on, I come to the territory, spoke about that being the underlying reason why the convention failed. Is that still an issue in 2024? Or as much of an issue in your opinion?
I haven't really been hearing it.
Neither
as a matter of fact, I signed somebody's nominating petition yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was glad to see them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're running for the Senate. They said, oh, by the way, I'm also running for the convention. So
oh, yeah, I signed both
of them. You know?
Okay.
I encourage civic participation.
Yeah.
So, definitely I ain't going to be on me signing this because me like this person or that kind of stuff. I will sign it to encourage anybody to run for the same. But I haven't been hearing that. And I know that was a huge thing in the previous thing. You know, we had, previous delegates trying to put definitions of indigenous Virgin Islander into the Constitution and actually trying to put aside certain rights for quote-unquote indigenous Virgin Islanders in terms of land buying and this kind of stuff, which all the other Caribbean islands have. But the difference is they can do it.
Yeah.
We can't do it in the United States.
No, sir.
You can't compare the two.
Cannot. I'm glad you went there. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll pick up the discussion there. I also want to talk about this high-profile case taking place in New York City and the impacts of that. We got Dwayne Henry joining us this morning, Bush T edition. He live and direct. And you know what live and direct mean, right, Dwayne?
It mean live and direct.
That's what I'm talking about. I like that there. So we'll take a break and be back right after this.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, Wait, We Give You a Chance to Impress Your Friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists? You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM. Fem.
Back here on Analyze This. We got a live edition here, my good friend Dwayne Henry in the studio. And during the break, we were talking about the native naturalized issue, and we were sharing some instances where folks who weren't naturalized citizens of countries ended up being, or are states, ended up being the leader of that state. We mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. right? Great bodybuilder, right? The right. Austrian Oak, mm-hmm. they used to call you, right?
Yes.
Mr. Universe, right? Think of yes, Mr. Universe, yes. right?
And Mr. Olympia.
Mr. Olympia, all that stuff, right? He was the governor of California.
Yes.
Right? And he actually won when they got rid of, what name during a recall? Gray Davis, right?
Yes, yes.
Gray
yes,
Davis,
yes.
right? And he
was a backlash.
Yeah. And because at the time, they had something then that we've been dealing with ever since around then to now, which is the energy crisis.
Yes.
California had a yes. situation there, right? Where mm-hmm. the buying power was costly and undermining their economic template. Right. And then in Guyana, Janet Jagan, mm-hmm. right? And she was, check this out, right? She was born in Illinois, right? Mm-hmm. And she married Chetty Jagan.
Right.
Right? He was, right? I want to make sure I get this right. He was the premier of Guyana uh-huh. from 1961, September 61 to December 64. And then he was the president of Guyana. Check out the uh-huh. difference in time.
We became a republic right? afterwards, yeah.
From 1992 uh-huh. to 1997. So you had a 28-year
right
time frame from when he was the premier mm-hmm. to when he was the president.
Amazing.
And then she was the first lady, right, during his reign as prime minister. And then she became prime minister with his passing in 97.
Right.
And from 97 until 99. So here is a lady, right, born in Illinois. And I'm willing to bet she mm-hmm. born in Chicago in 1920.
Right.
She could never imagine mm-hmm. that. At age 77, this is 1997.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. That she would be the prime minister of a country that's rich in minerals.
Yeah.
They got some issues down there in
yes,
Guyana.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. Especially now with Venezuela.
Yeah, that's right.
A third of the country.
Venezuela want to claim a third of it and they want to claim it because I think they just find down there some diamond range or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Wow.
And that there's a European company is supposed mm-hmm. to come in to exploit mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, you know I'm saying so. But at the end of the day, Dwayne, it's all about leadership and governance.
It is.
And love of people.
Yes, I love it. And then, like I said, I want to bring up Edward Siaga from Jamaica, that ran the JLP for years and was prime minister off and on several times. He was born in Boston.
And then
he's an American.
When he died, he didn't move. When his reign was over, he didn't move to Dominican Republic or Cuba or something.
I'm not sure where he went.
One of them had moved up there. Yeah, but he was from Boston originally.
Yes, he was a Bostonian. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it was Michael Manley that went to Cuba.
Okay, because he was a socialist.
But the issues of the Constitution, we get to sit down and just do.
Born in Boston, died in Miami. Born in Boston, died in Miami.
Wow.
So I remember that
clearly from back in the day when PNP and JLP and the drug wars.
Yeah, I know he and Michael Manley were going at it for a lot of years.
War and crime, they call it.
That drug war thing that you mentioned, it included a dude out of St. Kitts named Lil Nut.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Lil Nut apparently was trained by the CIA.
Of course.
So they had all of these things going on. And you had the Denzel Douglas Kennedy Simmons. Confrontation on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Lil Nut issue. He was a bad dude.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you see, in Jamaica, where a lot of people...
And he was extradited back to America in 2000, 2001, somewhere around there.
Yeah, the gangs in Jamaica are controlled by the political parties. They actually live, speaking to a good friend of mine who lived in Jamaica for 30-something years, just over the weekend, a classmate of mine. And he was explaining to us how it's even territorial. For instance... Gallows Bay would be Democratic Party.
Yes, sir.
And Chabot is Republican. And they don't cross lines.
No,
you
sir.
You stay at the old side of town.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You don't cross lines. Mm-hmm. So they take it that seriously.
Yeah, no. Siaga, he was a record producer and a record company owner of West Indies Records Limited.
There you go. That's where he got in good with the people.
I didn't even know that. He died on his 89th birthday, May 28th. 2019. That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? He died in Miami.
Yeah. Very well loved by billions of people in Jamaica.
Like me and Rocky and Ducks were talking about it. Everybody from the Caribbean, when you go to the States, they'll ask you, where you come from, Jamaica?
Always Jamaica,
you know what I mean? What have you. But like I said, it's about governance. It's about education.
Yes.
Right? Got to educate the public. Let them know what they're dealing with, what have you. And we're talking about that compact thing. Marshall Islands.
Yes.
The Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Palau.
Yes.
Right? Those are the three.
Micronesia.
Micronesia. Yes. Marshall Islands. Mm-hmm. And it came out
of the Pacific War after World War II, the UN.
Correct. The 38th parallel in Korea.
Yeah. The mandates in the Pacific Islands.
Let's get back to the high profile issue we're dealing with now with Donald Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, people might say, I don't talk about Trump a lot. Yo, he moves the needle.
Yeah,
right?
He is the news.
And not only that, he's good for civics.
Oh, absolutely. From
the standpoint of what you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
right. But here's I believe, that, when I was growing up, I learned the word confluence, right? And you know how I learned it? Every time the Steelers or the Pirates had a game at Three Rivers Stadium, they always used to say the confluence of the Ohio, Allegheny, and Mahangahila Rivers, right? So that's why I learned the word confluence, right?
Come together.
Yeah. In his case, all of his issues are coming together now. Ain't just legal issues, economic issues as well, right? What's going on with this company that he created? Trump Digital over this, right?
DJT.
DJT, right? And he named it after his initials and all that. So Trump World, what have you.
Uh-huh.
What he really doing now is he putting investment under the microscope from the standpoint that he goes public with this IPO, this initial public offering, uh-huh. 3 weeks ago, right? He establishes a share price, which everybody laughed at the time,
uh-huh.
because given the financials for the company, where they're losing $58 billion and raising $4 million in revenue and all kind of thing based on the 2003 financials, uh-huh. people wanted to know, but wait a minute, how come this thing's selling at, they're starting at $49 a share, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And then with his popularity, with the initial public offering, blind support,
uh-huh.
it rose as high as $79 uh-huh. a share. As we speak now, uh-huh. it down to $22 and 84 cents.
Yes, just looking at it here, mm-hmm. I was going to say, for those of you all that have invested or are following, it's half $2.77.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, my boy, that was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah. But they have some after hours.
It's actually up 13 cents.
13
right
cents
now.
With the after hours, the after right. hours yeah, trading, right?
Pre-market,
after, yeah. But one of our boys actually, he and I were teasing with that. He said, look, I gain in early, go make my money and get out. I think the same day, he must have made a couple $1,000.
Right.
Right? But at some point, doesn't the SEC have a right to question, you know, the legitimacy of this company? Because you are on somebody's exchange.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, NASDAQ, right? Mm-hmm. Is it NASDAQ?
Right.
Right? And the pundits were literally telling you,
uh-huh.
right, or forecasting
uh-huh.
exactly what has happened.
Right. Well, you know,
then there's a free market and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But they still got to protect the structure.
Absolutely. And yeah. there are laws to prevent stuff like that. Like, that's why Trump, for instance, can't sell his shares for 6 months.
He got the lockup. The six-month lockup, right?
Right. The lockup period. But
I don't know about that, because they say, if board members...
Unless the boards vote,
mm-hmm. right? And look at who the board members are.
His people there.
Son,
yes, yes.
Kash Patel.
Well, next week they're going to vote so that he can sell. You know, because they just issued the financing statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first step. Once that statement has been issued by the company, then the board can meet and say who could sell and who can't sell.
Okay.
And other than that, there's a six-month lockup.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure the powers of how the NASDAQ to enforce itself are strong. But I know the New York Stock Exchange has very strong enforcement
mm-hmm.
of its members.
Mm-hmm.
And they will suspend you before the...
That's what I'm saying, right?
You know,
And when you're looking at market share,
mm-hmm.
right? And in this case, let's use, just for rounding off purposes, $80 and down to 20.
Mm-hmm.
That means you've lost 75% value.
In a month.
In less than three weeks.
In three weeks
on a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That screams sham.
Absolutely. Plus the questions about the SPAC that he merged with.
Correct.
In order to create this...
Then you couple that with...
That's where the FEC comes in.
That's what I'm saying. Security yes. Exchange Commission, yes. right?
I'm pretty sure within a few months they're going to do an investigation.
And then you couple that with his public need for cash
mm-hmm.
to address his legal issues,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not a surprise that the day... that he announced the initial public offering or when the board voted to allow for the initial public offering mm-hmm. was the same day that he had to pay what was then $454 yes. million. Dollars,
absolutely.
And then appellate court reduced it to $175. And even that now is in question with
yes,
Knight Insurance.
Because the guy is the liquid, shady.
Yes. And the liquidity just mm-hmm. isn't there, they say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And the auditor now, we found out that the auditor that audits DJT
mm-hmm.
and was suspended in Canada.
Oh, really?
Doing business. Yeah. I think I said it to you. They were suspended in Canada. And not only that, there's a National Association of Certified Public Attendant,
mm-hmm.
Accountants. And they removed them from a peer review panel or something that they
this
have.
This is Knight Insurance you're talking about. The company?
The auditor. When you're an IPO...
Or the company auditors.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you're the IPO, you got to producer audit.
Yeah.
Independent auditor, a guy called Borscher or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And now they're on it because remember, they had to produce a favorable report
yes.
in order for the IPO to go
forward. Yeah.
Right. And now they're under scrutiny because they can't do business in Canada. They said their performance is horrendous.
And it's a Canadian company?
No, it's an American company.
Yeah.
But they did some work in Canada
yeah.
and they were kicked out. But not only that, the National Association of CPAs,
yeah.
who they're a member of, they have a self-governing thing called a peer review panel, something yeah. to that effect, right? And they suspended them from that. So the point
Ooh.
Is they don't have any kind of accreditation, for lack of a better term.
That's a good term.
Because yeah. even the American oversight thing has suspended them, saying, well, we're not, your stuff is so messed up, we're not even going to evaluate you anymore. That's like if Standard & Poor's were to say, you know, Whopper, there's too much of a mess down there, so we ain't even gained you a rating.
Me, don't even go there. Right.
But you see what I'm saying? Yeah, they're trying to show people the importance.
That thing hit home last night with the rolling outage, okay?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm on feeder 5A.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I get touch up yourself?
Hospital.
Oh, you good, man?
I'm not even on the schedule.
That's a good
one. I'm not even on the schedule.
We're going to have a good conversation on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We got the power hour coming up this Friday, so when Kyle come in, and I'm sure he's going to make the Whopper folk available, so we're going to leave that topic for then. But the real issue, right, that we want for the audience to process is that do your homework,
mm-hmm.
right? A company... Don't be buying shares in a company just because it's your friend, unless you are already committed to, even if I lose that money, I could eat mm-hmm. the loss.
Yeah.
If you could eat the loss and you want to do it because you want to support a particular mm-hmm. company or a venture, that's a whole different thing.
Of course.
But don't go in there thinking, well, you know something, I got a little to change your life savings.
And
that's what's going on right now,
that's
man.
That's what's happening.
Wow. That's unfortunate. We'll get to... at another time mm. what's going on, but 7 jurors have been selected so far.
Yes.
And it's going to be 12 with 6 alternates, right?
Right, and the judge wants to sit them by what's opening arguments on Monday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he plans to... They got recess today.
Wednesday has been designated as a recess day.
Right, so Thursday and Friday, the judge is intent on selecting the rest of the...
Yeah,
I think that's
what he wants, but I think it will last a little bit longer, though.
We'll see. And just with you, a lot of people talk all this stuff. There's some. Let me just say that the district attorney for the county of New York, also known as the Manhattan District Attorney's mm-hmm. Office, and the Southern District of New York.
That's Alvin Bragg.
Alvin Bragg,
yeah.
who's prosecuting in this case. And the thing, two of the best law firms in the country.
Yeah.
So. This,
Don't go nowhere.
Okay,
I know we got Ellie Hirsch coming on for the Children's Museum in a little bit. So
yes,
hold on
I
there.
Saw her yesterday.
We're going to wrap up this conversation right after this. We'll take a break. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.